So much for listening to this episode of Earrings Off. We want to invite you to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook at Earrings Off Podcast and on Instagram at The Earrings Off Podcast.
Welcome to Earrings Off. I'm Lou.
And I'm Teresa. Let's get started.
Well, hello, Teresa. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. So, Teresa, did you read the article that I asked you to read in the New York Times?
I did, but I do vaguely remember you telling me after I sent you an article that you were going to send me something salacious. Well, this was far from that.
No. Teresa, you're funny. You remember everything. I remember telling you that because you're always sending me this stuff on health and wellness and challenging me to do better, which challenges our audience to do better. But yeah. But yeah. Teresa, I tell you, I saw this article. And it was very well written as always, but it just, the subject came alive. So folks, we're talking about a New York Times article, which was just in their Sunday opinion section on February 25th. And it's titled, A Life Without a Home. Lori Teresa Yearwood collaborated with the Times on the article. And you know, Teresa, we hear so much about the homeless population, so much. I can't believe that anyone in the U.S. is not aware of the severity. But the New York Times just managed to do such a nice job in terms of not just providing numbers like a lot of articles do, but to put actual experiences with the subject matter. So it was just something to read.
Yeah, they made it real, but I have to, I'm ashamed to admit that, you know, I didn't know it was so bad. I mean, I know homelessness exists. I do, but I don't see it day to day. And so I tend to forget, but after this article, I won't. It is just made it so real. It's just real.
Well, you know, Teresa, like your focus many times is on health and wellness, but being a former social worker, these type of topics, they're always something that I'm going to be reading about or talking to someone about. Because I still stay in touch with a lot. Well, my friends are social workers. And so we still try to hash out what's going on. But we now have in the U.S., and I just have to say that, you know, in the U.S., people are always saying what a great nation we are. And we are. But unless you travel to other countries or study other countries, you realize you really don't understand how we fail in so many areas. Not only in terms of our health care, the cost, the quality of the service, but when you compare us to other countries, but I think in our incarceration rates, the number of guns that we have in this country and the mass shootings. So you can walk around all day and talk about how great we are, but put the microscope, look through that and really look at what we're doing in this country. And I think homelessness is another area where we're failing because we now have, they started doing the count in 2007. On the homeless population, just trying to get a grasp of how big it was. And of course, that always serves as the basis for, okay, going forward, how are we going to address this? And we now have in the U.S. the highest number of homeless people that we've ever had since the county began in 2007. Now, you know how hard it is to be a child. I mean, it's difficult now with Teresa. We've talked to people about bullying. You just did an episode on the bully brain, and we followed up with that. But now, one in every 30 children goes to sleep without a home of their own. Schools are even having washers and dryers in the schools so that they can get the clothes clean, because they know what that's going to mean for the child if they're seen in dirty clothes or, seen as unkempt. So schools, yet again, are being asked to take on another, another task to try to help the students. But in 2023, there were approximately 653,000 homeless people in the US. That's staggering.
That is staggering, Lou, but I feel like it's higher after reading that article because
Yeah.
they don't count people who are living with family members
Ah,
because they don't
Teresa.
have a
Yeah.
living on couches. They don't count them
Yeah.
as homeless.
Yeah. And Teresa, I saw that. And see, there's always something else you can learn about this, another layup, because, like I said, I try to keep abreast of issues, but I hadn't really thought about that, that if you stay with a family member, you're just sleeping on a couch or something, or have a area, and you're not considered homeless because you're sheltered.
And
Isn't
Lou,
that something?
that's right. But if you live in a motel, they also don't count that as homeless.
Right, because you have somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
And let the article talked about how people, of course, we like to think that things are great, and when things happen, you just go to your family. But
Right.
people don't always have a family member they can go to. And we just talked about the incidents of not having proper health care, and people also are struggling in this economy. Sometimes people just they have no family member that's able to or willing to take them in,
Or in the case of one gentleman in the article, he was thriving. He had a home. He had a couple of cars. He had it going on. And when he lost his home, he was too embarrassed to let his family know. His family doesn't even know that he's on the streets. He doesn't want to let them know.
And Teresa, you bring up another interesting point that we want our audience to be aware of, because you cited that gentleman who lost a home. So many times the homelessness is as a result of, okay, you've lost your home or you've been evicted. Well, that goes on your credit rating. And so now when you try to get an apartment, or you try to get somewhere to stay, that's on there. And that is a glaring, that's a glaring deficit. And it's one that is so hard to overcome. So they're being denied a place to stay because of that. And so it's like they're on a roller coaster. You can't get off of that.
So the article identified them as the working homeless. So they're working and they're homeless because they've been evicted. They cannot get another place because they've been evicted. They have money in the bank, but because they've been evicted, they cannot, no one will rent to them.
And I just thought about that. Can you now, we complain about how hard it is, even, I mean, to stay employed and to deal with all that you deal with, working for organizations or corporations or wherever you may be employed, and working for yourself if you're a business owner. But add another layer that you're trying to do all of that and you're homeless.
The movie Pursuit of Happiness just came to mind. Did you see that movie?
Oh yeah, and Will Smith really did a masterful job, and his son in
Yes.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
that was his situation, trying to get a job. right?
Right,
While
right,
homeless.
right. And the scene from that movie that just always gets me is when I think Will Smith was coming out of the office one day and his boss was trying to hail a cab or going somewhere in a hurry. And he turns to Will Smith's character and asks him, do you have like $3 or $5 or something? Which apparently was like a penny to this man. I mean, it was not a lot that he was asking Will to just give it to him while he hailed a cab and went where he was going. The money wasn't a whole lot. Will Smith just he pulled out his wallet and that was like all he had, of
That
course.
was all he had,
And
I
he his
remember.
face, oh, he was masterful. His face was just crestfallen. I mean, he because that was it. That was the only money that he had to try to navigate for him and his son. Of course, it meant eating and not eating, and you know, so yeah. That I when I saw the article and saw the piece about the gentleman that you referenced, yeah, there are people have misconceptions about the homeless that some people they don't want to work, it's their own fault, and you really don't understand that things can happen so quickly, and there's all kinds of barriers to aid to services, because one lady in the article, Teresa referenced, she was able to stay with a family member, but she was not able to qualify for service or her sister, there was difficulty in staying with her sister because her sister, who was receiving some type of aid for a disabled child, or maybe she was disabled, she would have been impacted negatively by having her sister who was homeless in the household. So not everybody is in a position to have additional people in the household. And I think there was one lady who had maybe 4 or 5 kids. Not everybody's able to absorb that number of new people into a household. And we like to think, oh, I'd do anything. I'd go without. And you just can't judge. You can't judge the homeless. And you don't know the circumstances of the people who they may be in close relationship with to try and support them through this. So it's a very complex issue. There really is hard to navigate around, but that certainly does not excuse people who have been elected to come up with policies to address this issue.
Well,
Yeah.
we have to make sure too that the folks being elected have this on front of mind, right? We
Right,
have to
right,
make them aware and
right.
ask them their stance and what they plan to do,
Right.
what they plan to do about it.
Right. And I tell you, Teresa, when you know I've been looking at apartments and things, I cannot imagine people being able to even afford these apartments, let alone afford the rate for a hotel every night.
Yeah,
And
well, I was just going to say they're not staying in hotels.
oh yeah, motel. Yeah.
They're staying in motels. They're expensive. I mean, don't get me wrong, but in New York, they're specifically converting hotels over for the homeless because there's
Right.
so many people. The crisis is so serious there with the homelessness, with the folks, with the immigrants that are being shipped to New York. Of course, that
Right.
wasn't addressed in the article, but we've seen that in the news.
Right. And of course, that's a business. And so there was also a lady who mentioned, okay, well, even if you get a motel and you get one for the week, if an event comes to town, like, you know, if there's something that's coming to that area, they get kicked out because the rate, you know, they want to charge a higher rate. And they can because there's more of a demand in the market at that particular time. And so then they're back on the street
Oh, Lou,
because,
I saw that. It broke my heart. Yeah,
yeah.
I saw that. That is that,
Yeah.
their stress levels, another heartbreaking story I read was this woman. I think she might have been 60. She was healthy otherwise, right?
Right.
And she ate well,
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
but living in the shelters and on the street, she had no access to vegetables and fruits,
Right.
which
Right.
also causes health problems,
Right.
right?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
just very, it's very heartbreaking.
And then, Teresa, there was an instance, there was one lady also cited who not only was she homeless, she was caring for her elderly mother.
Yeah.
And I believe they were living in a car, and that's what the homeless people that were interviewed said. And I don't know if I mentioned that the title was A Life Without a Home, the name of the article, but they mentioned that when you're homeless, well, when things change in your life and you don't have enough money for shelter, and if you have a car, your first response is you live in the car. I mean, they're thinking, I can't afford to pay for anywhere. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm going to live in my car. I have to, and you're thinking this is temporary. Well, then you get into finding somewhere safe to park the car. And some places, you may be able to park there during the day or during the night, but not during the day. And so you're constantly moving that car and you have expenses related to that car. And of course, you need to keep the car in working order because that's the only place you have to stay. And people are, many times, they're mean to homeless people. They take out their own individual sickness and frustration on this population. There have been many, many instances. I think there was a case recently that I came across my desk where a man, I think I want to say in California, they have him, he's in court now with for killing, I think, four homeless people in the California area. So we just, I think when we talk about what we want for our audience is not only to keep up with your legislators and be aware of the issue so that you can talk with them, write letters, understand what's going on with the issue, and also to volunteer at service organizations or to donate and see what skills you have that may be of service to different organizations. I think the first thing is to just be more empathetic, to understand that this is not just because someone didn't make good choices or this is their own fault. That people, things happen in this life, and we don't get to sit back and judge people when they're struggling, when we know how difficult it is every day to survive. And it's even more difficult if you have some mental health challenges and you're not getting the proper care so that you can maybe make better choices. When I mentioned earlier that it's a layered issue, and there are a
It is very
lot of
layered.
different facets to that. And one person mentioned, Teresa, of course, we talked about people being employed. It's challenging when in the workplace people aren't kind in terms of your appearance and how there's this look that you have to even be able to get a job and retain a position. And
Right.
that's, yeah.
I want to just add to that. Actually, something that I learned from one of the homeless people that was interviewed about, they were asked the question, what can be done, right? And this person's response was a bit profound to me, and it is layered. It's multifaceted, this problem, and it can't be looked at as one, as homelessness, right? Because in this situation of homelessness, you have people who have mental health issues. As you mentioned, you have people who don't have jobs. They're homeless and jobless. You have people who are homeless and working that we've talked about. And, you know, I'm going to add another one that I thought about, just homeless and uneducated. But the thing that we have to do is encourage us legislators to look at it as a multi-pronged, multifaceted problem and address them in those buckets. You can't put all those people in one category. You won't be able to help them. And another one is homeless and disabled. And I remember one individual stating, "Why is it so difficult to get help when you're disabled? You've worked all these years, you know, you qualify for aid as a result, but you can't get it because of the red tape that you have to go through to be qualified as a disabled person." So I would ask our audience to write, understand, and know who your legislators are. This is a situation that we can all get involved in. We can know who we're electing and what their stance is on this and many issues, right? And try to affect change that way in all of the ways that you indicated earlier, Lou.
Well, and I tell you, to the parents, particularly in the article, that they were my heroes because they were still fighting to try to get sheltered. And Teresa, you and I both know how difficult, how hard it can be as a parent. But when I think about parents and them trying to keep their kids safe, them trying to still make sure that their kids attend school and have a life. And of course, they say it repeatedly. They don't want the kids to know the full extent of what they're dealing with. So they try to make life as pleasant as they can, as normal as they can for their children. So I just, when I saw that, I just thought, well, those are the heroes walking amongst us who haven't given up, who still, even in the most dire circumstances, they try to parent their children. And so this is a hard issue, folks, not one that Teresa and I are going to solve. But when we started Earrings Off, our goal was to shed a light on issues that impact us. And we're going to continue to do that. So again, the article was in the New York Times opinion section titled A Life Without a Home. We wish you all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Earrings Off.
Take good care.